Gladys Irwin speaking to women at the City Hall of Brisbane.
Thank you very, very much. I have prayed that this morning to you who are my sisters, we will be willing to meet with the Lord Jesus, because I believe that God has given us a most amazing privilege, but a most wonderful responsibility. Surely there has never been a time such as this in which we find ourselves living, when anything can happen any moment, when the world sweeps forward so quickly, and wonderful things just come into the news and into our very lives. But at the same time, you and I have this challenge not only to meet the times, but to meet God in those times. And it is something of this that has prompted me and made me accept this invitation from World Vision to come out. You will find that I do not know very much about the outside as a Western civilization. My life has been lived away in the middle of China, and when we came out from China itself, I went to live on the little island Formosa, and that has been my interest, my life. There I believe God put my love. But I haven't been able to just sit on that small island. In the all around, from every point, there are these terrific challenges. And just to emphasize to you, not in just a theoretical way, but in a way of fact, these places that to you are Southeastern Asia, Hong Kong, Singapore, Malaya, China, Formosa, Japan, Korea, and those that area, represent a terrific challenge. Because you see, dear sisters, their young people are way ahead of yours. They're more clever, they read more, they do more, they're far more energetic, they don't expect to be spoon-fed, they know where they're going and they're going to get there. And as I see it, just in the way in which they live, and now I come and see the way you live, friend, you're on the losing side. And the challenge is for Jesus Christ, because I truly believe that only in Christ is there freedom, or can we keep and hold our freedom, or can we get anywhere of any value at all. So you'll find that this morning is not just a talk, a sort of little stories. It is a challenge from my own heart to yours. That's why I ask that we as women should meet together, because although I have never really lived a woman's life as you have, I've never had a home, I've never had a husband, and I never have had children of my own. But I have brought up more children than I suppose any of you have ever thought of. And so there has always been in my life the problems of eating and wearing clothes and room enough for the family and what to do with the next one and how to settle their quarrels and how to discipline them, and how to manage a family alone without a father. And all these things have brought into my life and into my heart not just ideas. I'm not going to give you tips on how to manage your families. I would that you got what I have got, the love of Jesus Christ, so that you will pass on that to your children, of the patience that only He can give, so that in your home, in spite of all those that turmoil and confusion, you will be perfectly happy and spread a sort of comforting feeling because of that patience through the people who you have to live with. I'm going to read one verse. Now I will explain, it is not because I do not believe the middle of the verses, these two that I'm leaving out, but that they don't just happen right this morning to come into our talk. And the verse is the 17th verse of the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Now, if you know your Bibles, I hope you do, these words won't be the same, because mine is Chinese. Sorry, that's all I read. But I will turn it round as I understand it from Chinese to you. A person inside Christ is new. That person's old affairs are behind that person's back. Everything is changed. A person inside Christ. You and I right now are inside this building. We as individuals, as persons, are inside our clothes. And so there is a sort of limit, isn't there? We just don't do as we please in that being in this building. We are confined by these walls. And in our clothes, well, we're just not quite as free as we would be without them. We are inside. And I believe in the same way, in theory, in spirit, you and I have to get inside of Christ so that although we're limited by Him, by His love, by His patience, by His great almighty mercy and salvation. We're inside of Jesus Christ. This person then has to do something. It says, a person inside Christ is new. Now, friend, I do not believe that you and I, when we believe on the Lord Jesus, we join a church or we get confirmed or baptized, we gradually become a little nicer, our tempers are a little better, and, well, altogether we're just going forward, aren't we? No, the Bible doesn't imply that. A person inside Christ is, and this is present, new. And so you and I, if we really believe in Jesus Christ, and we are willing to get, as it were, inside of Him, to listen to His voice, to do as He asks, we are new creations. Right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. We're going to have to wait till we've got a little better, a little older, or done a little more good works. No, this is entirely through faith and trust in a wonderful Jesus Christ. And now this new creation does something. Immediately throws overboard all the old ideas. Are all your old ideas out? Friend, you still read those same silly books? Still dream the same silly dreams? Well, when we were girls in our teens, we dreamed dreams. But we shouldn't be dreaming dreams than when we were 40. We should be acting. We should be living in reality. Romance is for youth, not for age. We should have gone forward. We should have thrown overboard those things which we know as we grow older are of no value. A person inside Christ is new, and all the old affairs are behind his back. Before I went to China, I was connected with the stage. That's what I went up into London. That's what I left my home for, to go and study for the stage. And so all my friends knew how interested and taken up I was with the theatre. And then after I was saved and I went to China, of course this all went and I forgot all about it. But as I was on my way back from Red China to Great Britain, 20 or more years had gone by. And suddenly the thought came into me, now what am I going to do? I suppose my dear aunts and my relations they will all rush along and they'll say, well, there's poor old Gladys, and she's been living away in the wilds of China for over 20 years. Well, let's invite her to the theatre. Now, what am I going to say? I just didn't know. You know, dear friend, no one's ever asked. No one ever invited. You see? They didn't. I had no question as to what I was going to say. They knew the very attitude that I took, the very way I walked in. I was a new creation. I hadn't just gone to China and grown up. I hadn't become a missionary. Oh no, I looked at things in a different way. And now the girl of 20 had grown up, and she was looking at things in a different light. Friend, are you looking at things in a real square right in the light of Jesus Christ? Because you are a new creation in him. And then, as the old affairs, the old things, you know, that really don't count, do they? They go overboard. Everything's changed. Oh, you don't move house. You still have to sweep the old floor with same old broom. You still have to cook the same kind of dinners, because your family like that kind of cooking. But it's new. You live a new life. You're new. You talk in a new way. You have joy in your heart. You live a new life because Christ is yours and you are his. And friend, it doesn't have that we alter the place where we live, or our circumstances are either better or new. It is as we are inside of Jesus Christ. I lived in the middle of China for 9.5 years in one of the miserablest places on earth. You could have walked right round our city in 20 minutes. That's how big it was. You could have seen everybody. There were 5 shops. They all sold the same thing. They had 5 or 6 things to sell, nothing of which I wanted to buy. Simply because every single one of those 5 things was something to do with idols. Paper to burn to idols, incense to burn to idols, candles to burn to idols, bells to tie around cows' necks, and rope to tie up your cows with to the post of your door. Now, what did I want those for? So there was no shop gazing, no shopping. But friend, I lived in that little city, and I can honestly tell you, God gave to my heart a most amazing joy in watching one by one the men and women of that small city and the people outside come and find Jesus Christ as their Savior. Not because I could preach wonderful sermons, because they didn't come to listen if I had, but because they saw living in an inn just outside the city gate somebody who was a new creation. And this afternoon I pray that to you something of this challenge will come into your heart, that you may go out to do what God wants. Because if we leap over in the same chapter to the 20th verse, we read this. And therefore, or so, this person becomes Christ's representative. You and I, inside Christ, representing him. We're not out just to talk about our own affairs, or even the affairs of our church or our family. We are there to represent the Lord of glory. And friend, it's the greatest and most glorious privilege, and something that fills us with joy. And now I would like to give you, all as it were mixed up you'll find, something that represents to me the mission field and your and my part in it. Because this isn't a call to the mission field. You can't just get up and run off, can you? No, you've got your family and you're, as it were, tied down, and you have responsibilities to those families. But I truly believe that every single soundly born again child of God, that is, those who have the witness of Jesus Christ in their heart, should be doing something for the kingdom of God. We should be new creations representing him somewhere. Now, where that particular place is, I wouldn't know in your case. I can only know in mine. I only know that as we get inside of him, seek to find out his will, he never asks us to do something we can't. He never tells us to go to somewhere he knows we cannot go. He doesn't put us, if we're square pegs, down in round holes. He is a great almighty God, and he, I believe in that great plan, just made the place that you and I should fit perfectly in. When I was a little girl in school, this was a little country school outside in a few miles from the city of London. There were, I suppose, about 200 odd little girls beside myself, and I was the only one in that school among those little girls with this coloured hair, this old black knob. Do you know, I hated it. We do, because we don't like being different. Every other one of those little girls had sort of golden coloured or fair hair or some other colour. I don't know the colours you call them, but anyway, they were not like mine. And I didn't like this. And so there were many tears shed over what the boys in the school called old black knob, old gollywog. And I would go home to my mother, who, of course, had no way out at all. And she'd say, but darling, it's there and I cannot alter it. The Lord Jesus must have a purpose somewhere in giving you this black hair. And then the next thing was that the rest of the family, and of course all those other little girls, they didn't stop being little. They grew up and I just stopped in the middle. And again, I shed many tears, and I said, well, it isn't jolly well fair. And now, why couldn't I grow nice and regal-looking like my sister? But I didn't, and nobody seemed to be able to add any more inches on. And so the tears went, and I didn't realize until years later, when one day I was walking up the main street of a port city in China, Tianjin. And all of a sudden, my heart began to beat, and I began to feel warm and excited all over. And I looked all around and I said, well, isn't this the most exciting thing that's happened for a long time? Why, my hair's the same color as all of theirs. And then as I continued to walk along, I could see everything. I was the same size as all of them. And when I went up into inland China, into a place where they had never seen anybody from the outside, friend, I am positively sure that had some rather tall, nice-looking girl with pretty golden or yellow hair had gone there, they'd have chased her out. Oh, but they didn't chase me out. My hair was the same colour as theirs. And after all, I was just coming from around the corner somewhere. I had got a bit of a long nose, but perhaps that was from the place I came from. The rest of me was the same as them. Friends, don't worry that God is going to ask you to do something you can't. He is love. But he does ask us to do something that we can. Stand as his representative, straight, honest, uncompromisingly true, where he has put us. And then not only ourselves find joy, but our family and those we love, and I truly believe our nation. Now, I went to China, as you know, as a girl in my 20s. And for those first few years, I lived in a little tiny mountain city, right down, not far from the Yellow River. And God opened wonderful doors filled my heart with amazing joy and did things that I had never dreamed he would ever do for anybody, let alone me. I lived my first year with an old Scotch lady, and although we had planned to have in this small city the first mission station, we didn't. We had a mule inn, and this was because we found that that was the best way to get the people in. From that mule inn came the first Christians, who were muleteers who travelled over the mountainside and had to spend the night in the inn. And then, after the old lady Jeannie died, I accepted a job under the national government, which I then knew nothing about. All I knew was that every single woman around me had bound feet. And now this custom of binding little girls' feet was against the law, and the government needed somebody to go out and stamp this custom out in those mountain villages. And this opened to me a most wonderful door. The villages were mine. The hamlets were mine. I could knock on any door, day or night, and go in. Now, I was supposed because I was earning my living through being an official of the government, to stamp out foot binding and explain the evils of growing and smoking opium. And I did. I earned my money. But I had gone to China for Jesus Christ. And so to me, the most important thing of all was that they knew Christ. And I discovered in a most amazing way that although you could talk, you could make laws, you could make rules, and you could insist on them, but it didn't go where life went. I wonder to how many of us we are going to learn that as we get inside of Christ, it isn't following a law, it isn't making rules, it is allowing the Lord Jesus to pour his love through you. So that out through that love, there will go something to that other person or persons that will draw them to Jesus Christ. They'll see things in a different way, whereas a law says you must or you mustn't. And the heart of man just resists, whereas love draws. I remember going out into a small village to find a man who had bought, which of course you could do in those days, a little girl of 4 years old. His intention was that she should be, later on, the wife of his son. She'd never had her feet bound, so he proceeded to order his wife to bind the little girl's feet up. I went, found out, and he had to unbind them. I fined him. Meant a lot to a man who has very little money. Some weeks later, I had an idea I ought to go to that village again. He'd gone back and bound them up. So I dragged him in. He served 2 months in prison. The moment he was let out, he went back and did the same thing all over again. And this time I went out, and he came in again, and went through a very horrid sort of punishment that was on in China in those days, what we call public disgrace, which means that the prisoner, is dragged through the street absolutely naked, and anybody can come out and throw what they like at them. It's a horrid thing. And this man had this. And yet, at the end of that, he went back and bowed up his little daughter-in-law's feet. And I didn't know what to do. I prayed, I pleaded with the Lord. What do I do with a man like this? So hard, so cruel. And then one day, in an entirely different place, I went to a large fair. And standing, preaching the gospel in the middle of a fair, suddenly at the back of the crowd, a man shot his hand up and he said, "Can I believe on your that there God?" "Yes, brother. Come out here and kneel down and I'll tell you how to worship my God." And there, with the tears streaming down his face, he recognized Jesus Christ. And as he got up, he said, "Would you come to my village with me? You've been there 4 times, but you will come a fifth, won't you? What have I got to come to your village for?" And as I looked at the man, here's the very man who'd gone through all that, but now love had drawn. And I went to his village with him and had the wonderful privilege of unbinding for the last time the little daughter-in-law's feet. Friend, I wonder to how many of us we're going to realize that God is a great loving God. But then God is also a just God. And so, as the time went on, to me, there were terrific challenges. And the district became so big and so complicated that I now believed that God would have me long and pray and seek to draw somebody as a fellow worker. There was only one Christian from the outside in that area. That was me. And so I prayed and I pleaded with the Lord. "Would you challenge somebody? Would you draw somebody? Would you bring them right here? And then together we will climb mountains for you." But no one came, and I got rather disappointed and wondered, why? If this God is a God of love, if he's a God of justice, why doesn't he answer our prayer? Is that where you are? Friend, perhaps you've prayed and you've prayed for something. You've pleaded with the Lord and you still haven't got the answer to your prayer. Well, I believe it's because of 2 or 3 things. One, you might not be praying in his will. He might not want to answer in the way in which you expect. And so you have to let that prayer down. And as it were, put it on one side. A person inside Christ is new, and perhaps it's an old affair. Perhaps it's something that's nothing, none of your business. And God is never going to answer it. Should we get inside of his will and his power and find out if we're really praying right? And then it may be that in his plan he isn't ready and that he has still a way to draw you. That's, I believe, what happened to me. Because I, although disappointed and frustrated and wondering why, if he was a God of love, he didn't answer my prayer and send somebody, I was to find before long something that was to fill my heart with a wonderful joy, as that I would have never planned or even dreamed of planning. I walked down the street of our little city one day, and I saw sitting on the side of the road an ordinary mountain woman. Leaning against the woman's knee was a little child. And on looking at the child, I discovered it was dirty and it was sick. And so I went to tell the woman to take it from the street and wash it and love it. I learned on talking to the woman, she was there for one purpose, to sell it. I bought it. Now, I didn't buy the child because I then loved children. Or I didn't love the child because then I loved China. I bought the child because I believed God was asking me to. And although I cannot explain all that went on in my heart this morning, all I know is this, that I was positively sure that I had got to do this. Now, dear friend, I'm going to tell you absolutely honestly, I did not want the child. I am a woman as much as you are. I'm the same kind of woman as you are women. And deep down in my heart, there was going on the battle that went on in your heart one day. And what I wanted was what most of you have already got. I wanted a husband. I wanted a home. I wanted babies of my own. The longing inside us as women is for security, is for love. Inside us, God has created a great heart, and it is made to pour out love. Now, I do not believe that our husbands and our brothers possess this in the same way. God has given to us this privilege, and I wonder to how many of us we're going to use it in the right way. The world has taken hold of this, and it brings it down into the dust. It makes it sexy and filthy. It throws it on the screens in films. It writes dirty, sexy, horrible books. And mother, today, something that God gave you is clean and pure, but only as you keep Jesus Christ in your life. And I believe that this is what you and I have to pass on to our children, that they too might be clean, that those things that the world says are the dumb things shall in your home be turned out. And if you've got sexy books in your home, mother, burn them. You have no right to be a mother and not be able to throw out that book that you don't agree with that is under your daughter's pillow or bed. My children might not be my own children, but I have watched what they read. I know where they go, even today. And I challenge you as mothers to teach your children truth. I bought the child because I believe God asked me that in spite of all this battle that was going on in here, God had come in. And I wondered to how many of you've made up your mind of what you're going to do. You've planned it all out. You've organized it all. And this morning God is going to challenge you, because that plan's not going to work, mother. That organizing isn't your business. What God has given to you and me in this heart of ours is a love for truth and honesty and purity, which you and I should be instilling into our children. And I am sick of listening to filthy conversations in ladies' waiting rooms, even on planes. And there are times when I just blush with shame, because beside me is a young man. Women, get down to earth and be clean. Talk about things that are clean. How can you expect your children to be clean if you're not? A person inside Christ is new, and the old affairs should be behind our backs. Throw out some of this silly nonsense and be truthful and straight. Read some good books. Read the Word of God. Learn how to pray. See what God wants you to do. And then you will find it will be poured out onto these you love. You'll know where they go. They'll love you and you'll love them. And God will be in control. To me, this little girl was the beginning. And as the months and the years went on, there came into my life and into my heart these who were to be my family. Now they haven't all grown up and done what I would have liked. I do not believe they've all done maybe what God would have liked. But I have been terribly proud of them. From that one little girl, there came during those first few years five. And then as the five came, my heart sort of longed for all those lonely children out in the mountainsides. And the door being opened, God gave courage, wisdom, understanding and love to receive. Not everyone that was left on my doorstep, but everyone that I believed God wanted me to take. When the war came, I had got 40. And then during the war, there came down from the north 40 more. These boys and girls were not just orphans. They were my sons. They were my daughters. I loved them and they loved me. And then when the enemy came and we were swept out across those mountains and the Yellow River to make a new home miles and miles away from where we lived in the province of Shenzhen. I sometimes, with breaking heart, watch them go out to earn their living, watch the boys have to go and join the army, watch the girls have to go and do war work, but always with a sense of pride that these were the boys who one day were going to stand for Christ somewhere. These were the girls who were going to be straight and true, where one day I would not be able to go for Jesus Christ. And Mother, this is what I believe God gave them to me for. Not that I might just love them and spoil them, let them do what they like and twist me round their finger, but that I might love them with the love that Jesus loved me with. To make them straight, honest, true Chinese citizens for Christ. I did not expect what you ought to expect from yours, because there were not the privileges that where we lived that you can give to your children. But I truly believe that God expects all that you can give and pour out on this, your child and your family, that God might be honored in your family, and that your child one day might be his witness, as you, I pray, today are his. And then we were separated. And down between us comes an iron curtain. Some of us happened to be on one side and some on another side. This was not of our own choosing. This was simply because of what had happened. And we had just got to make the best of it and see how God was going to prove us, test us and use us. And in those early days, when China had become red, there were times when my heart broke, when I've laid out on the floor and prayed to die, the hopelessness of it all, the aching hearts, the misery, the cruelty, as they stripped us bit by bit of everything we possessed. Mother, keep your freedom and give it to your children. I plead with you, get Christ, because only in Christ is there freedom. There is no freedom outside of Christ. And only in this book is there truth. May you never have to watch what some of us who are mothers had to watch. In that today you, willing to be inside of Jesus Christ, can be his testimonies and keep that freedom not only in your own lives, but in the lives of others. And then as we came out to something that we didn't know, no money, no clothes, no future, no hope, no nothing. And I would like you to try and realize just what you would do if you were suddenly lifted from your home and thrown out with absolutely nothing. Who are you? You know your name, but nobody's going to believe it. You've no proof of who you are. You've no money. And probably you don't understand all that everybody says around you, in that you've come from a different part of that particular land to everybody else. And then perhaps, Mother, you will pray for some of these young people who are facing up to these sort of problems. And if you think you've got problems with your young people, then you have a way of stopping those problems from coming into being, something like this. We didn't choose to be refugees, no more than you will one day when you may become a refugee if you don't get Christ. We were made them. And so here, out on this side, are these hundreds and hundreds of young people who don't know who they belong to, who don't know anything of the place where they were born, No roots. Nothing to hang on to. Longing for something that we believe is only to be found in Jesus Christ. I came out, breaking my heart for my family, for my home and all I knew. It was all now behind an iron curtain and didn't belong to me. And I went onto a little island, Formosa. I wasn't very happy. I didn't know what to do. And I thought, well, I suppose I could preach a few sermons. Oh, well, I'll just put up my name and I'll fill in here and there for some minister if he's sick or goes on a vacation. And one evening, I was down in the Baptist church taking the place of the minister who was sick. And at the same time, something was happening outside, not very far away from that very church, that was to alter my life and give me an entirely new idea of things, fill again my heart with love and start me off all over again, and give me courage even to come out here. We have a bus station, and down the edge of the bus station runs a long wooden seat. On that bus station, the cleaner who was sweeping the floor noticed that somebody had left a paper parcel. And he, looking at the paper parcel as he swept the floor, saw it very, very gently move occasionally, and he decided it was a chicken. This is because we don't carry chickens and ducks around dead where we live. We carry them around alive. And so he thought, well, now, if I keep my eye on that parcel, then that chicken will be mine. And so when two or more hours had gone by, he went over and picked up the chicken, believing that the person who owned it had gone on a bus and departed down the island and forgotten all about it. But to his utter horror and amazement, when he took it in his hands, it wasn't a chicken or a duck. It was a little baby, a newborn baby, just born, picked up, put in the paper and rolled up. You can imagine what it was like. Well, he was very frightened and he took it out to the police station. And the policeman said, oh, I don't want it. Oh, I can't do anything with it. I've got nowhere to put it, nothing to feed it on. You know, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a list of names. And you go and visit these people, and one of them will take it in. And so a police officer and the little cleaner from the bus station with the baby in the parcel did the round. Nobody wanted it. And then somebody said, I don't want it. In fact, I've nowhere to put it and nothing to feed it on, but have you ever heard of a woman called Ai Weidae? You know, Gladys Aylward. Well, she lives up this road somewhere, I believe. And do you know, one day in the paper I read that she just loves children. I'll find out the number of her house and you take it along to her. And so they came to my door. I was not in. But my landlady, who was not a Christian and not a very nice woman, opened the door. And they said, here's a parcel for that woman who lives in your back room. Oh, yes, well, that's her kitchen over there. Just lay it in there. And so they went in, put the baby in the kitchen, let themselves out, and went. I came home. I didn't go to the kitchen. I've nothing to go to the kitchen for. I go to bed. But when I am laying comfortably in bed, I can hear on the other side of the wall my landlady talking. I guess two important looking gentlemen came this evening with a gift for you. And because you weren't in, I told them to put it in your kitchen. Oh, thank you very much. I'll see it tomorrow. Oh, I wouldn't wait until tomorrow, because it looked to me like a nice watermelon. And you know, if you leave watermelons in your kitchen, rats will come and spiders will come. Oh, bother the woman. And she kept on, you know. Know how they do? And I, a little irritated, not very cheerfully, got out of bed, crossed the yard and into the kitchen. Because I don't like spiders and rats in my kitchen. And that's what happens if you leave food there. And, looking down, I found in the washbowl the baby. And it was still alive. And I said, oh, Lord, no. Oh, no, I've already brought up two families for you. Now, what do I do with this? And I truly believe that God's Holy Spirit put into my heart the fact that only down the road was a heathen woman with a newborn baby. I didn't even know which house. But I went out down the road and I knocked on the right house. And a little heathen woman sat, dropping her baby's milk into the mouth of this poor, dirty little thing. And the tears streaming down her face, she suddenly looked up and she said, if it still breathes when I've nourished it, shall we wash it? Yes. And as I took it back in my hand after it had been washed, now wrapped around in a piece of cloth, I said, Lord Jesus, what do I do? I have nothing to feed newborn babies on, and I've nowhere to put newborn babies. Oh, said the Lord Jesus, you were going home to bed, weren't you? Well, why don't you go? It's awfully late at night. I did. And the baby came too. Hasn't died, you know. They don't. Little lives are very strong inside them. And another door is opened. Oh, Lord, I'm nearly 60. I don't want to start a new family. This is the time when I sit on the sofa and put my feet up. Oh, no, says the Lord, you are not, the time hasn't come to put feet up on sofas. Because, you see, oh, well, this is just the beginning. They have come, and they have come, and in the same way as the first family came, and God looked after them and poured out love, so this one has come too. And then, in the most amazing and wonderful way, God does. As we go forward and trust him, I come out. You know who I leave this new family with? Well, the old family. After all, they're grown up and they should be doing something, shouldn't they? Well, you take care of this new family and then we'll have three families and we will all praise the Lord together. Friend, I wonder, is God speaking to us? Shouldn't we be doing something for Jesus Christ? It isn't as he asked me, but is he asking you? I believe, dear friend, that to many of you, God has got to teach you how to pray. Do you really know how to pray, Mother? Pray so that your heart is burdened and it's breaking. Pray not only for your own sons and your own daughters, but others. Pray for the young men and the young women who today know nothing of Christ. I wonder how many are going to accept that challenge. Pray for my babies. I don't know who they belong to, but I know they belong to me now. And I'm going to pour all the love I can get from God on them. But would you pray for us? And pray for the thousands who we probably don't know anything about and will never be able to find. Pray for the men and the women who are going to die without Christ. And I don't know about you, Mother, but have you ever prayed for the women of Russia? All the degradation, all the stinkingness of sin. Woman, I believe communism came from hell. I don't care who you are, I know. I hate it with every breath I breathe. Because it is the enemy of Jesus Christ. And Mother is in your house, pray it out. If it's in your family, pray it out. If it's in your nation, pray it out. You lose every shred of freedom once it gets a grip. And have you ever prayed for the women who, through no fault of their own, have got to live under it? The women of Poland?
The women of Russia, the heartbreaking women of China. And as you in your freedom rejoice and watch your children grow, break your heart for the women who come. I believe God is going to ask some of us that although we might be busy, He's going to expect more of us. We're going to do a little more for Jesus Christ and maybe a little less for ourselves. Because you know, dear mother, God isn't going to ask for all those dustings of chairs. He isn't going to ask for about all the time that was spent on doing that one particular thing. There is not one of us here who hasn't at least 5, 10 or 15 minutes to give to God. You're not all that hard work, dear friend. I come from the East and I know. We work out there, and if you think you work, well, I'm sorry, but you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Not according to our sense. Where we have got to do every single thing, and yet we do far more for our God than you do. Will you wake up? Laziness, selfishness, self-willedness, jealousy and criticism is there, instead of something which should be love and joy and peace. Throw them out, dear friend. Throw overboard these old things that shouldn't be. Stop criticizing. Get out and pray. Stop picking holes in your neighbor. Pray for her. Do a good deed for her. God put you and I on earth not just to eat, drink, and mind our own business, but to love and pour out love and to go out as His representatives in a world that is sick with sin. God might ask us to go and do something. Where, how, I don't know. I don't know you enough to even suggest. All I know is that my God is love, and He longs that love should be poured out. A person inside Christ is new, and that new creation belonging to God does what God tells them. It may be back in your own home, in that office, in that school, wherever God has put you as He has put me, but it will be for His glory. And it will be so that He can give us an understanding and what I call a vision of what to pray for and how to pray. And this morning, to us, shall we accept the responsibility that God has given to us? There used to be a saying when I was a little girl, I don't know whether it still goes, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Mother, you have a tremendous power. You hold in your hand a future president or a future great woman for God, or the reverse. Don't blame your government. Don't blame the times in which you live. Don't blame your church or your minister if something goes wrong in your child's life or in yours. Blame yourself. God gave to you and me this morning power. The power that I have tried terribly hard to tell you, if only in a story that I claim. I claim for my children the power of God. They shall be what you want, Lord. They shall tell the truth. They shall be those witnesses for you where I cannot stand. And may you be as proud of your children today as I am proud of mine. Not because they have done what you or their father wanted, but because they have done what God wanted. Mother, one of the last places I visited in Red China not so very long ago was a filthy, stinking, horrid prison. It was to see what was once a pretty little girl. She is my daughter. She has already been there for 9 whole years. I'm terribly proud of my girl in prison. She needn't be there, of course. And then you say, why doesn't she get out? She refuses to bow to any but Christ. Mother, are you going to be as proud of her as I am? I wonder. If you want to be, give your girl Christ. She might not find the husband you long. She might not do what you hoped. You will break your heart over the longing for her and for the love that you want her to enjoy. But you'll be so proud because you will know God has chosen her, and you will know that in that filthy prison there is at least one witness for Christ that only death will wipe out. Mother, I stood one day on an open market square, which is now the execution ground in the middle of a very large city in the southwest of China. I stood with a group of men and women, and we're breaking our hearts because in the middle of that market square are our sons and our daughters, 15 of them. They're only just over 20, and they are there to die. Friend, they don't shoot them in Red China, they chop off their heads. Mother, wake up! Communism is evil, it's wicked. Let it in and you will go with it. A person inside Christ is new, and only in Christ is there truth and newness. Friend, as we pray, would you let God challenge you? Would you let God speak the truth to you? And would you take it from the heart of Gladys Aylward, who defy anybody, that communism is of the devil? Only in Christ is there freedom. I'm willing to die sooner than give in. And I defy anybody, whoever they are, wherever they are, to defy Christ. Women, this is the truth. And today you give to your child what you choose. Lies or truth? Shall we bow our heads? And shall we before the great Almighty God ask Him to speak to us and show us truth? I'm not here to argue. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And I hate the ideology of communism with every breath I breathe, because I know it is evil, it is stinking, it is sin, it is devilish. And I long for you who are mothers, the freedom that only Christ can give. And as we pray, would you give yourself to Him? Would you ask Him to teach you how to pray? Would you ask Him to teach you how to give? You ask Him to teach you the right sense of value. The things of earth count for nothing. It is your soul and Christ. Shall we pray? Dear loving Heavenly Father, you who are love, you who are peace, you who came down from heaven to die on Calvary that men might live, break our hearts before Thee, that we may know that only in Thee is truth, only in Thee is peace. O God, we cry to Thee this morning for Thy love, that it may pour through our hearts, that we might be willing to get inside of You and become Your new creations, that over and through us there may be Thy Holy Spirit in such a way that we can go out and spread it to others. Oh God, we bring these we love to Thee. We bring our sons to Thee. How we long that they might be straight, true, loving men for Thee. Oh God, break our hearts for them, that we may give them Thy truth. We pray Thee for our daughters, for our little babies. Oh, in Thy love, Lord, teach us how to pray. Give us strength, courage, and wisdom to put their feet on this Thy book, that they might go out straight, firm, true, men and women whom others will look up to and trust, because we've not only loved them but given them truth and Thee. Oh, Lord Jesus, hear our prayer. We pray thee today for the women who in their thousands behind those iron curtains break their hearts. Oh, God, to those who are mothers, break and pour upon us so much love that we can pour out to them. We think of those lonely mothers in China. We think of the mothers through Russia. We think of those in Poland and Hungary. Oh, God, we truly know you love them. Then teach us how to pray for them and in spirit stand by them. We pray thee for the young people who know nothing of thy love. Lord Jesus, may we get moved and alerted and challenged that they today might know thou art God. There is a Jesus who loves them. We are on this side pleading and praying for them. Lord Jesus, as today we stand in freedom, give to us as women courage to stand and keep our freedom. And God, teach us how to pray and to work and to do and to be and to give that this land might retain its freedom. God, we pray thee keep Australia free. Oh, we plead with thee. Show us truth and keep these, my sisters, free. May they never have to know what we have had. May they never have to watch what we have watched. Oh, Lord, let them keep their babies. And we plead with thee keep their freedom. We ask this because we know thou art a God of love, a God of justice and a God of peace, and that one day we shall stand with these we love, who will come from behind iron curtains into the freedom and liberty of your love, to give thee honour, to give thee all that is thy due of glory and praise, and we will thank thee and praise thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Dear friends, I pray that this morning God in his own way will speak to you. To us who are mothers, we have already broken our hearts. I pray that to you that will never be the same kind of experience, that to you who are free, you might remain free, and that as a new creation in Jesus Christ, you will be willing to go out as his and his alone representative, that somebody through you might find Jesus Christ, and the joy that will fill your heart will then flow onto there, and you will know that God has done for you what you asked. And I know the joy as it spreads to your family and through your family to those fellowships and those churches and out into this, your nation and your people. And may God bless you. And may you never have to experience the heartache, the sorrow, the loneliness of the mothers of China, of the young people of China who are not free.